love that you give to us, Lord, and we just praise your name, Lord. We just pray that you would be with all of us, Lord, and we just pray that your hand would be on this congregation, Lord. I pray that you would just continue to bless us, Lord, and just pray that we would worship you and honor you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Well, good morning. You may be seated. How are you today? First of all, it's a beautiful day. But more importantly, did you guys see the fish that Savannah caught yesterday? How awesome was that? That thing was bigger than you. Wow. It was amazing. Good job with that. A couple of announcements, actually quite a few. We're getting into that time of year. We're going to start ramping things up. That was hard for me to say. So, Backyard Bible Club, the last one is going to be this coming Friday, the 28th. It's going to be at 10:30 to 11:30. It'll be right out here. So, invite friends, invite kids. Let's get some kids saved, shall we? That's our goal in this world, is to change lives. So, we want to do that. Pastor Kevin and Tina are out of the office. They are still celebrating their 30th anniversary. I say still, they've been gone a week, and they're still going to be gone a little bit longer. So, we are in the office, but there's just one of us at a time. So, please don't hesitate to call us on our cell phones if you need to get a hold of us, okay? That's me and Pastor Jennifer. Pastor Emma, she can do it too. I don't want to leave her out. She's the bomb diggity. She keeps us all in line when she comes to our office meetings. Sunday school staff meeting next Sunday, right, Elise? Next Sunday, the 30th, following the service, all teachers are asked to stay for lunch and a meeting. Can I stay for lunch? Yes! No leftovers for me. Oh, I'll bring the spam, buddy. I'll bring the spam. Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking of doing spam kebabs. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah. A little pineapple sauce. Anyway, sorry. I got distracted. I apologize. I do that. Kids Quest registration. Pastor Jennifer has it set up for Wednesday, September 2nd from 6 to 7. Children between 1st and 5th grade are asked to attend. And please come register them. And I want to throw this out here. I hope I don't embarrass him. But Mr. Lloyd Smith has volunteered to help me out with the kids, the Knights of the North Castle part. And I got a list of stuff we can make, buddy. We can burn stuff and make it fun, okay? Okay. I mean, we're going to be doing jousting and bows and arrows, and so we're going to build all that stuff as medieval times, as well as Pastor Jennifer is going to be doing JBQ, Junior Bible Quiz. So we're working on that. We're working on devotion times and all that. So it's from 3:30 to 5. So we're going to be picking kids up at their schools, bringing them here, serving them a snack, and taking care of them until 5 o'clock till their parents get off of work on Wednesdays. And then we're going to roll into middle school youth group and high school youth group at 7. So that'll be a busy day. Sunday school begins Sunday, September 13th, 9 o'clock. Women will be entrusted with treasure. That's your study there. Because of COVID, we can't serve treats, but there will be coffee. What's more important than that? Wise Guys, Friday the 28th at CC's Family Cafe. The big boss is in charge of that one. So if you have any questions, talk to Emma. Is there anything else that I've missed? Anybody else have anything they need to add coming up soon? Nothing? Okay. Yes, boss. Leading in prayer. Would you like to do that? That would be awesome. Yes, we definitely need to pray. If you haven't heard, Scott had a couple of heart attacks a couple of nights ago, and so he's in Fargo, and we'll let Pastor Emma pray.
Do any of you have a need that you'd like to raise your hand? You got your hand up?
You can say raise your hand.
if you've got a need. I know you've got a big need. Yeah, Charlene. For Larry. Yeah. Larry Milton, he usually sits over in the back over here if you don't know him. And he's dealing with cancer. Sandy? What's... Oh, you're back, Ron. Okay. Yep. Okay. Taco shoulder. Yeah. Hang on. Let's get that on. Because people... Most of you know Lou and Scott sat over here, and she's talking about them.
So I messaged her this morning just to see how Scott's doing, and she said he's doing well considering. But they weren't able to do any stents. They're going to wait 7 to 10 days. So she said he might get out of the hospital Wednesday, and then they'll either do it in Bismarck or Fargo, try to do stents again next week after 7 to 10 days. So that's kind of where they're at.
Okay. I forgot that some of our people are... Church family are online and probably can't see me as I'm going around to these people. Sorry about that, folks. And some of you might not know some of our folks, but join us as we go in prayer for them on this morning. Father, we're so thankful for you and that you always answer prayers. Lord, for Pastor Kevin and Tina, give them a time of refreshing. Lord, a time of rest, a time of enjoyment, Lord. We're so thankful you brought them to us. Guide and protect them, we pray. And Lord, we're asking special prayer for Scott. He's had these heart attacks, getting stents put in, Lord. Protect him. Jesus, lay your hand upon him for healing, complete healing, Lord. Be with Lou through all of this. Lord, we give you praise. We know your word says you are the healer, and we claim that, Lord. We're asking for Ron this morning. His back needs a touch, Lord, from you. Jesus, minister to him. For Taco, God. Lord, heal his body. Oh, minister to him right now, Lord, with your divine healing. For Larry, Jesus, help them, God, to operate on this cancer and get every bit of it, Lord. We're asking in your precious name. Hallelujah. We thank you. We praise you, Jesus. And Lord, you see our people here this morning, and you know some of them have needs and requests that have not been spoken. Lord, touch and minister to each one. And we give you praise. We give you glory. Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now the real boss.
I don't know about that. Good morning. I'm debating if I want to let the kids go or if they should just stay with me. Do you guys want to stay with me or go with Pastor Jason? You guys can go with Pastor Jason. Because believe it or not, I'm going to make the adults do kids stuff in here. Okay. I have a few little bit of instructions for you. A few of you people have witnessed me and have, and some have not. But in case this happens today, I want you to know that if you get confused, it's okay. What has happened is a Jenniferism. You might need the Jennifer Dictionary that is not in existence. However, just write down it in your notes, what confuses you, and hopefully I or Jason or the Children's Church kids can explain what I mean. And it might make us mean that we have to go back to YouTube and rewatch what I said. And what hopefully is I have word for word of what I'm going to say so that doesn't happen. If not, we will just make up a definition so it makes sense. We do that a lot in our house. And it seems to work for our family and the kids, and we just laugh it off and we restart. Two, it's been a long time since I've talked to adults in this sitting. A long time. And I will admit, I am a little nervous over this. But I promised Pastor Kevin when we first moved here that if he asked me to preach, I would say yes. So when he asked, I paused. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that that promise that I made to Pastor Kevin. So I said, yes. And then I've been nervous for the whole 3 weeks. So you guys are going to be my children today. Okay, so men, I need you to untuck your shirts, and I kind of need you to slouch down and give a, you know what, Jeriah, look at Jeriah. Do what he does, and I will be fine. Okay, girls, ladies, I need you to put pigtails in your hair, and then if I say something funny, you need to laugh in that high-pitched laugh, okay, and I think we'll be okay. All right, but in all seriousness, can we go again in prayer and ask God to be with us today? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. And God, I just pray that you will be in control of services today. I pray that I will trust you with the words that you have given me. And I pray that this will be your sermon and not mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I have some objects up here. And there is one that I'm hoping is not offensive to anybody. But for you men, I have a gun. I have a fishing pole, and I guess that can be for women too. And I have a football helmet. Yes, it is Jason's, and yes, it's a Raiders. I was really asking for a football and a basketball, but this is what he came up with. And then we have some phones and an Xbox control, and we have iPads. And then I have some crocheting stuff, some yarn, and believe it or not, this actually works. I didn't think she would be here today, but Ruthie is crocheting right now as we're talking. And I love it. Now, we all have hobbies, right? And did any of these items catch your attention? Do some of you guys like some of them more than others? Do you have anything like this that you're obsessed with, addicted to? And these, these were the safe addictions, okay, guys? And granted, it might be sewing. It might be exercising. But then what about some of those other addictions? You know, those things that totally take control of your mind, your heart, your soul, your mind. It could really be anything. What is something in your life that consumes you, your thoughts, your actions, your words? Today we are going to focus on what we really should be obsessed with. What should we constantly and consistently be on our hearts, souls, minds, and our strength? So let's turn to Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Deuteronomy 6:5. But now we're going to flip into the New Testament. Matthew 22:36-37. Master, which is of the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The greatest commandment calls for a total response. We are to love God with all of our heart. We are to love God with all of our soul. We are to love God with all of our strength, -might. We are to love God with all our mind. These verses are very dear to me, and if they are not dear to you, I pray that by the end of this service that they will be dear to you. And two questions come to my mind with this verse. One, what does it mean that we need to love the Lord your God, our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength? And what do I do if I don't love God like I should? So this is where everything stems from. Several years ago, I went through something really hard. And I have never gone through anything like that. Such a very, very lonely time. But during that time, God had become something more to me. And one could say that I had become very, very addicted to my triune God. He became my everything. And I am not a morning person. Never have been. Not even in the womb. However, during this time, I had no problem getting up at 5 a.m. In fact, I had no problem waking Jason up at 5 a.m., telling him to get out of bed so we could make our bed and make it to my expectations. So we have a king-size bed, and with that, we made the bed, and then I have bags. If you guys have not seen my bags, you're just going to have to come over because I was not going to bring all my bags. Those are just a few, okay? Just a few. So we get my bags, we put them on the bed, and I unload my concordances. I unload all of my Bible studies. I unload my devotions. And then, my favorite part, we unload all my pens and pencils and highlighters. That's my addiction. And then I boot him out the room. I'm like, you go do what you want to do, but this is my time with God. So, shoo, go, bye-bye. And that's what I did for like a solid year. And then, because we homeschool pretty much all year round, we would wake up early so that I could get through the majority of the stuff without the children bothering me. And they knew, until I said, okay, now you guys can come bother me, they knew not to bother me. Jason would wake them up, tell them to get to their chores, tell them to get to their breakfast, and then about that time I had it that it should have been about 8, 9 o'clock. Then if they had any school questions, they could come and interrupt me. That's how we did things. So that was my addiction for that time frame. In fact, I would have 2-3 different Bible studies going on. And my mom one time asked me, how do you keep them all together? I don't know how God did it, but every Bible study came somehow just tied in together, and I got so much during that time that it was not confusing. It was not a chore. I enjoyed it. It filled that loneliness. So I did this every day, all day long if able, and I felt very blessed in this time. At a certain, I loved being at the feet of God and hearing him speak to me. So as I was going through one of my core verses that I have a little index card I meant to bring of all the verses that spoke to me during that time. And this one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, is one of them. But there's two words in that whole verse that I get hung up on. So will you guys join me as we work on those two words? And those two words are with all. And actually, okay, and they mean with all comes from the Hebrew word kol. And it means whole and totality. And Jeanette, can you give me that list? On your guys' paper, you guys might want to write all of these verses down. And you can leave this up for a while so that they have time for that. All these verses are just a few of the verses that I found when I was working on this sermon. And basically, all these verses have this in common. With all your heart and with all your soul. And just, these are a few. If you guys want my whole list, just let me know. It's up in my office. I can get them to you. God wants us to love him with all of our heart. To truly love him with all that we have. We must love him with a sincere love. It means that when we say we love him, our hearts are with him. How many times do we say we love God, but deep down, we truly are not with him? Do we truly love God with all of our hearts? How about with a strong love? Our hearts must be carried out towards him with wholeheartedly affection. That we must give him our all. Another way of loving God is a superlative love. Superlative means of the highest quality or degree. We must love the Lord our God above any creature. Any love, nothing, we love nothing besides God. Throughout the Bible, God has always called for a relationship that starts from the inside. Moses speaks in Deuteronomy is the heart. This might be where it gets a little iffy here, okay, guys, of explaining this. So Moses in Deuteronomy is the heart. Focused his central part of him speaking to the Israelites. For example, in Deuteronomy 4, verses 39 through 40, Moses says, "Therefore, know this day and consider it your heart, that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. There is no other. Therefore, you shall keep your statutes and his commandments." Moses' charge is get these truths inside us. And then once they are within us, his truths will generate a new kind of living. Both the Old and New Testament tells us to love God from our heart. We are to have our desires, will, emotion, attitudes, perceptions, and even our thoughts enraptured by the love of our God, for our God. The heart is everything internal, all of it declaring we love God. Now we're going to move on to our soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. And it means all of this. The soul, self, life, creature, person, appetite, mind, living being, desire, emotion, passion that which breathes, the breathing substance or being, soul, the inner being of a man. Loving our God with all of our heart gives rise to a call to love him with all of our soul, and strength, and might. Depending on your Bible translation, strength and might are the same word. A common interpretation of this heart, soul, and strength are in three different aspects of who we are as people. Now, if the kids were here, I would tell them to imagine this, because I really didn't want to put a whiteboard up here, okay? So I want you guys to imagine or to picture a big circle, okay? And in that circle is three smaller circles. And one is the heart, one is for the soul, and one is for our strength. That is a secular worldview. The biblical is we have a big circle. And then we have a circle within that one, and then a circle within that one. It's our heart, soul, and then strength. We are to love God with our passions and hungers and perceptions and thoughts. We are to love him with how we talk and what we do with our hands and how we utilize our talents and how we react to life's challenges. Our whole being is to show we love God completely. And when we love God completely, it should shine out to others. Strength translated with the word might, me'od, which is the Hebrew word, and it means might, force, abundance. And I will be honest with you, I didn't like might, and I did not like the word force. It did nothing for me. But abundance, that spoke to me. So, how do we love God with all of our strength? What does strength here mean? We're going to look at abundance. It means extremely plentiful or over sufficient quantity or supply. So we can have an abundance of grain, an overflowing fullness, an abundance of heart, affluence or wealth, the enjoyment of abundance. But what does abundance have to do with loving God? So here Moses starts with us in our inner being, moves us to the whole being of who we are, and then moves to the outer being of what we have at our disposal. First, love God from our heart of getting to know him for who he is, then love with our whole being of who we are, to love him with everything else that we have, our substances and our resources. And what do you have that could bring honor to God? This would include our spouses, if we have one, our home, money, pets, wardrobe, tools, phone, movies, music, computers, and time. With all that is within us and out, an identity with us crying out, I love God completely. Love God with all of your mind. Okay. I'm not going to pronunciate the Hebrew word in that one. I tried practicing it. It's not happening. But this is the definition for mind. The mind has a faculty of understanding, feeling, and desiring. So we understand. Our mind example is spirit, the way of thinking and feeling. It's our thoughts, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, might, and with all of our minds. It means we love God completely. With all that we have from the inside out. Inside out, no matter our age. So, do we have any retirement people in here? That means that you're still breathing, right? Just because you're retired does not mean that you get to go, oh, I've made it. I don't have to do any work for God. Mm-mm. You still have to love God completely. Younger people, we still love God completely. God needs to be the front and center right here in everything we do. Everything. So whether you have one of these hobbies, it's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to have things that we enjoy doing. But what's not okay is when these things become more important and take us away from God and us loving him completely. We don't want to put him back behind our head. We don't want him in the back burner. We want him right here. So, how do we love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, mind? It all starts with God-oriented affections, desires, and thoughts that permeates our speaking and our behaviors. It then influences us with what we purchase and how we dress and how we drive and what we watch, how we engage in social media, our friendships. Whatever we are doing, our love is to be operative and evident. It is used being humble before God daily throughout the day and asking for forgiveness whenever we have sinned. It is keeping our hearts softened towards God and not becoming hardened. Deuteronomy 36 says, And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul that you may live. If we're constantly addicted to our Jesus, our Holy Spirit, and our God the Father, this is what will happen. Our lives will change. We will see things differently. We'll be so focused on our triune God that we'll be living life and we'll hear him and we'll be obedient to him. God loved us first. He loves us completely. He wants to heal us, and with God's help, we can love him wholeheartedly. Are we willing to do our part, though? Are we willing to trust him, seek him, know him, and keep our hearts softened to him? Are we willing to obey him? Are we willing to make him our everything and change the way we do things to put him first? Or do I even say to be totally addicted to our one true God? I have to say, I lived it for quite a while. It was very, very exciting. In fact, at that time, I even had a friend who was a recovering drug addict. And I didn't want to be offensive to her, but that's how her and I could relate, because she did find God. She did live for God, and her life has changed miraculously. But we could totally relate because we were addicted to something, and it was just there. All I wanted to do was talk about God. All I wanted to do was read his word. All I wanted to do was have that God encounter. Michael Zagarelli from the Charleston Southern University School of Business conducted an obstacle to growth survey over 20,000 Christians across the globe and identified busyness as a major distraction from spiritual life. So listen carefully to his hypothesis. It may be the case that, one, Christians are assimilating to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload, which leads to, two, God becoming more marginalized in Christians' lives, which leads to, three, a deteriorating relationship with God, which leads to, four, Christians becoming even more vulnerable to adopting secular assumptions about how to live, which leads to, five, more conformity to a culture of busyness, hurry, and overload. And then the cycle begins again. How are we going to stop the cycle? How can you stop that cycle? In closing, I want to share about someone very dear to me. She was my Sunday school teacher. Very, very knowledgeable of the Bible. And I wish as a kid I would have paid attention to more of her teaching. Because now she fights dementia. And she gets very, very confused. But the one thing she's not confused about is her love for God. One day, Jason and I were getting our mail, and we see her walking down the street. And we're like, we don't think she is supposed to be out of her assisted living. So we tried calling her family. Her family, it took a while. So I told Jason, you go do what you need to do to find us help. I will run up to her. I will walk with her, and I will just stay with her. So I ran up to her, and I'm, what you doing? She goes, I'm looking for my church. I cannot find my church. And today is church day, and we go to church day. We have to go to church. I said, okay, let's just keep walking. I'm like, we're just going to keep walking. I'm not going to upset her. We're just going to walk and try to looking for this church. eventually the facility did come. They loaded her up, and I let them handle telling her that it wasn't a church day. But I got back into the car with Jason, and I said, I pray that when I am an old 80, 90, I think she might be in her 90 now, 90? She's up there, guys. But I hope if I have dementia or Alzheimer's, I hope my mind is so focused on God that even though I might not know what's going on around me, my mind, my heart, my soul, my strength is still in God wholeheartedly. I hope that with everything that I read in the Bible and try memorizing, I'm not a very good memorizer, guys. I can paraphrase what I learned, but to quote it for her, that took a year, just that one simple verse, to really memorize it, to put it to the heart. But I also hope that everything from being raised in a Christian home that my parents taught me, my Sunday school teachers taught me, my midweek service teachers taught me, children's church, and then my youth leaders that invested in me, and then all the pastors that I have gone through. Everything that they've taught me, I hope that it's in my head. I hope it's in my heart. I pray that it's in my soul, because I hope and pray that I'm loving God wholeheartedly. So will you join me in working, striving, applying to love our one true God wholeheartedly with everything we have inside and out? That we will fall wholeheartedly in love with God, that it radiates in and out and around us? Because I think our country needs that. That our love for God will be addicting to us as any one of these things here on the table. Or if I don't have it mentioned here, you guys know I make it pretty evident that I love my pins. I do. This pin is just a little. Just a little. I have bags that are hidden that has pins that are hidden. That we will choose him over everything. Can we do that? Can we love God so much that it's addicting? It's all we think about, all we want to do, that we get excited. Sunday morning's coming. We can get our next fix of God. Oh, you know what? Tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, I get to wake up. I get to wake up and I get to be with God. He is a good, good God who deserves to love us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for loving us wholeheartedly first. I thank you for everything you do for us. But God, I pray that we will be a people who will love you wholeheartedly, that we will love you with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, and all of our mind, that we will be consumed of you, that we will choose daily throughout our day to be so focused on you, to want to know who you are and to live for you. And then with that, God, I pray that our love for you shines so much that the people in this community and outside this community and outside our state, in our country, that it will just radiate our love for you and that they will want what we have because you're that good. God, I challenge everyone here to pick up a new addiction of loving you, of making your our everything. That we want to individually pursue you on our own time, but then we'll also want to pursue you together as family, as friends, and that we can have everything that you offer when we love you. Make it here that we start to shine our light for you. In Jesus' name, amen.